It's such a delight to be here. I want to thank you for sharing your pastor this past June. As he came out to Oregon and spoke for us, he shared with me, you always use a borrowed mule harder than your own. But he pulled all the way, preached to us 6 times in our church, and folks just dearly love him. And we're so thankful for that. You please remember us out in Oregon. I visited with Pastor Drew Dietz on this trip, and he's way out there in the country, but Oregon is a long ways further than that. Pray for us. And I would that you'd pray for our son, Nathan. He was riding a motorbike, and a lady ran a stop sign, and he went over the top of the hood, and he was dressed for riding. And he's ridden a lot in his life. He said over 100,000 miles on a motorbike. But he still fractured the heel of his foot and fractured a lumbar in his back, and he's in a lot of pain and can't work. But just pray for him. I would ask you to join me in the gospel according to Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 19. I've shared a little bit from this book in the past, but a friend of mine shared with me just recently that the book of Leviticus to him used to be a flyover book. You read Genesis and Exodus and flew over Leviticus and went on to something else. And I used to do that. But Leviticus is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of His people. There's much said in this book about the blood of an innocent lamb, the blood of the innocent Lamb of God. And in these 2 verses that I'd like to look at this morning, they're found in Leviticus chapter 19 and verses 35, 36, and 37, excuse me, there's 3 verses. Leviticus chapter 19. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meat yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances, just weights, a just ephah, and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe all my statutes and all my judgments and do them. I am the Lord. In other words, do not use dishonest standards when measuring length, weight, or volume. Your scales and your weights must be accurate. Your containers for measuring dry materials or liquids must be accurate. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. In the county courthouse in Wasco County, the community where I live and the county I live in, behind some glass are some very expensive containers. There's a container that holds a bushel and a peck. There's a yardstick. They're very expensive and they're held to extreme standards. And they are there for a purpose, because people often would take advantage of other people in the measuring. My brother delivers wood. He cuts wood out in the woods, and he takes a full cord to deliver it. And one time, he offloaded a bunch of wood, and the lady that was buying it said, sir, I only asked for 2 cords, and or only 1 cord. I can't afford 2. And he says, this is only 1 cord. She says, that booger that sold me last year, he cheated me, didn't he? And he said, yes, he did. He cheated you. Well, there's much said in the Bible about this subject, but it's much different than that. But it is good in our businesses to be right, to be just, to be honest. We don't like to go to a used car salesman and find out we've been cheated. We don't like to find out we bought less than we thought we did. It's a good idea to follow these standards. The book of Deuteronomy and the book of Proverbs is filled with verses similar to this about having just weights and just standards. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 25, would you move ahead just slightly there? Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 13, we have these words recorded on the same subject. Deuteronomy chapter 25 and verse 13, the scriptures share with us there, "Thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small. But thou shalt have a perfect and a just weight, a perfect and a just measure shalt thou have, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." And if you'd move over to the book of Proverbs for two or three readings, Proverbs chapter 11. You noticed in that passage of scripture we just read there in the book of Deuteronomy that the requirement is the perfect standard, a perfect measure, a perfect length. Nothing is to be shortened, nothing is to be lengthened. One of my favorite paintings by Norman Rockwell is a lady, probably a widow lady, elderly lady, buying a chicken. And that chicken is laying on the scales in the old butcher store, and she's got her finger on the bottom of that scale, pushing it up, and the butcher has his finger on the top of the scale, pushing it down. Now, Norman Rockwell caught a great theme in that simple picture about human nature, didn't he? Here in the book of the Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 11, and there in verse 1, "A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." Would you turn with me just a little further in the book of Deuteronomy? Deuteronomy chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 11. We read these words about the same subject, and this subject moves throughout the scriptures. We have that the Old Testament was written by holy men of God. They spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, and they had a message to preach, a message to share, and that message was Christ. And whenever we run into passages of scripture like this, we're running into a specific statement about the perfection of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the requirements that's imposed upon us that if we're going to have the true Savior, we must have that perfect measure, we must have that perfect length, we must have that perfect one as our Redeemer. Nothing else will do. God will not accept short-changed Redeemers. He will not accept short-changed lengths in a Redeemer, short-changed volume in a Redeemer, short-changed anything in a Redeemer. There is one Redeemer, and that Redeemer is the Lord Jesus Christ, and we must have that perfect Redeemer, or we don't have a Redeemer at all. So here in the book of Proverbs again in chapter 16 and there in verse 11, it says, "A just weight and a balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are of His work." And in chapter 20 of the book of Proverbs in verse 10, would you turn there with me? Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 10. The scriptures share this, "Diverse weights and diverse measures, both of them are alike abomination to the Lord." And in that same chapter in verse 23, the scriptures share this, "Diverse weights are an abomination unto the Lord, and a false balance is not good." There are a number of other passages of scripture that we could read, and you can look them up. But there's much said about the business dealings in the Old Testament as well as in the New Testament. And what I had a preacher tell me one time, if a person hands you a card that has that fish on it, watch your wallet. Watch your wallet. There's going to be a problem. He's out after your wallet. So the Lord has prescribed throughout the scriptures that we're to have just balances and just weights. We're to be honest and honorable in our dealings with our fellow man. But more than that, we find that the scriptures are sharing with us that these descriptions of a just weight, a just balance, a just scale, a just ephah, a just hin, they're telling us about the almighty necessity of having the perfect one, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can make a joke about these different things. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus Christ, there is no room for joking. I find in my heart that the Holy Spirit had much more in mind when he shared with us these passages of Scripture, as he did with the nation of Israel out there in the wilderness, and it would be some time before most of that the Lord gave them would even be in effect. They're going to travel 40 years in the wilderness. They're not going to have to plant trees. They're not going to have to do anything like that. They're not going to be having a lot of dealings, because the Lord's going to give them manna from heaven, and he's going to give them quail, and he's going to give them water from the rock and all these things. But once they entered into the land, these things were going to be in effect. They're a reminder of the absolute necessity that we have as human beings, that something better than we are must be the one that is our Redeemer. So as we look at this, we find that the words that were instructed by the apostle, or instructed to the apostle Peter by the Lord Jesus Christ, when he made a good confession, he said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." The good confession was good, but Jesus Christ answered and said, "This isn't really yours by nature. This came to you, was given to you. This was a revelation of my Father." So if we just look at these Old Testament scriptures as a way to do good business, and that's there, but if we don't go any farther, we've missed the point that the Lord had for us in regards to the Old Testament. Jesus told Pharisees, "If you'd have believed Moses, you'd believe me." Jesus told those folks, he said, Moses wrote of me. And he told his disciples that in all things in the Old Testament concerning himself. We find in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation, that there's one with a pair of scales in his hand. One with a pair of scales. We're in our courtroom in the Dalles. There's a blind woman with a pair of scales, supposed to be represent justice. Not going to have anything that's going to impart anything. We're looking for justice. Well, when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, we find that there's only one place for justice, and that is he must be the one that gives it to us. Many, many years ago, in the writings of the book of Daniel, when the children of Israel were in captivity, we have a time when inside a building, and I can just imagine how big that building was. It was a monument to the king. And one evening, across the wall of that building, a finger came and wrote a message. We have that message recorded in the book of Daniel, chapter 5. They were there partying and drinking and having a great time, and their eyes were stopped, and their ears were stopped, and their activities were stopped when they saw this hand write across the upper part of that wall, and it wrote, "You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting." You've been weighed in the balance. Well, the person that was written to probably said, like most of us in our religion, if I do enough good things to outweigh my bad things, I'll be okay. And yet, the message to that king, very high official, you've been weighed in the balance and found wanting. There isn't enough good works that you could perform, because none of the works that we have that we perform have any input with God whatsoever. And so we're weighed in the balance and found wanting. What might it mean to have a false weight and a false measure and a false standard about God? Far above just business deals. What would be the answer? You know, when I visit with folks today, in my life, as far as I've gone along, when the word grace comes up, most people want to share with me that there are works of grace. Now, that's a false balance. That's a false scale. That's a false weight when you have works of grace. But most religionists, as I was, had works of grace. What about faith? Religion has left out the author of faith. We worship our faith in our religion, but the Bible tells us that he is the author and finisher of our faith. What about righteousness? Well, righteousness has works to purchase. We purchase our righteousness by our good deeds. And in fact, in certain religions, and it's not just the odd ones, We purchase our righteousness by what we did for the church. What about sin? Oh, it's a slight deviation from the right that can be corrected by education. My father grew up in a religion, and he was educated into the kingdom of heaven at 12 years of age. We think we can educate people if we can convince them enough about the things that we believe that they will fall in line with us. I have a dear friend. In fact, in 3 hours, he's going to be speaking for me in the Dalles. He's one of the men in the church. He's my Bible class teacher, and he fills in for me. And he thought, originally, he thought, if I give the definition of the word election, people will just fall in line. If I give the definition of the word predestination, if I just explain it from the Bible, you know, it's not the definition that's the problem. It is the very principle that God is in charge of his salvation that we kick against. What about sin? What will God do to sinners is the question. We find we have this thought of a just weight and a just balance, and we put that up with the spiritual things that we find in the Word of God. And who did Jesus die for is a line of demarcation when we begin to ask questions. And I was visiting with my niece, and she just immediately said, everybody. Now that's a very unjust weight and a very unjust balance and a very unjust measuring instrument, because Jesus never said that, God never said that, and it's not brought out in the Word of God anywhere. Jesus said, I lay down my life for the sheep. What about salvation? Religion says that's what God owes us. He owes us this. Well, it's a very unjust weight and a very unjust balance. True weights and true measures is that Jesus Christ is the standard of acceptance. A question to ask yourself or to ask others is to see if we or others are using a false balance or a false weight. What is the question? Who did Christ die for? All the other weights and measures will be false if this one question is answered incorrectly. If Jesus Christ died for everybody, then he's the greatest failure that religion has ever seen. He's a God of failure. And my friend, we find that the God of the Bible is never failed on anything he has ever said he did. In fact, he's the Lord God Almighty, and he has the ability to fulfill everything he said. I wish I could fulfill all my promises, but I have failed miserably on many of them. I just couldn't keep them. I wanted to be here yesterday at 12:15 in the afternoon, but I ended up at 10:45 at night. I wanted to be here. Couldn't do it. I couldn't walk that far that quick. So we have promises that we keep or try to keep and we can't. But the Lord God Almighty has kept every single promise he has ever said because he has the power to do that. He is the Lord God Almighty. All the other weights and measures will be false if this weight is false. It matters not about how right we may be on other things if we are wrong on him. If we have an unjust weight about the Lord Jesus Christ and we look at him as littler than he is, littler in his ability, littler in his salvation, littler in his blood, littler in his faith, littler in everything else, we will be deadly wrong on every other area. We can't make the cake right if we use a false measure with regard to this issue about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God and he is the Word and is to be taken. Any other view will lead to destruction. The cake will fall. The cookies will be rotten. It does not matter how well we worked problems if we fail to begin with the incorrect numbers. I did a lot of substituting for the last 10 years, and I don't know how many times when we were correcting math papers, kids would say, "Well, it really doesn't matter." That's generally the idea that human beings have with everything. When it comes to Christianity, it really doesn't matter. Well, it does. Just weights and just balances is what God requires. And he says a perfect weight and a perfect measure. And there's only one that has that perfection. And he is the Son of God. He's the only one that is able to do what God has carried out in his covenant of grace. It does not matter how well we've done the problem. If we start out with the wrong numbers, we may have great administration and great faith. But our faith is found in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10. I asked my father-in-law one time, "How many times have you preached a message from Ephesians 1? Zero. How many times have you preached from Ephesians 2? Well, I can't count that. You cannot enjoy the measurement of Ephesians chapter 2 if you take a false balance in Ephesians chapter 1. If you will not, if we cannot, if we do not see the grace of God found in his selective power before the foundation of the world, we cannot enjoy the grace of God in Ephesians chapter 2, 8, 9, and 10. We are chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and it takes the grace of God for anybody to accept that he did it all and without our help. We want to be involved. We want to do some measuring, but our measuring instruments are so false. They were broken in Adam. They leak. They're vessels that won't hold. They are just not available to us. We don't have the comprehension or the ability of measuring correctly. We can't make what God requires. We can't do it. All of the rules and regulations that we find in the book of Leviticus, I'm so thankful I didn't live during that time. But those people that knew Christ during that time were thankful they lived there, but they couldn't keep those rules. They trusted someone else who could. The beauty of this is the Lord Jesus Christ kept every one of those regulations and was glad about it. It wasn't a problem to him. He didn't have to say, "Man, I wish I didn't have to give that $10 overpayment back." He never had to say, "Well, they should have filled up my tank a little more." He never had to say to a friend, "You should do this for free." He never had that problem. He's the perfect Son of God. He obeyed every regulation that God the Father had ever said. He had all the power within himself to do that and was glad about it. We fuss about the rules and regulations. I just have to point out this morning to dear Betty, your tags are old. You're not following the regulations of your state. "Oh, man," she said, "I've got them at home. I'll have to put them on." How we do that. But the regulation that God has said, unless you have the Son, you have a false measure, you have a false balance, you are not dealing with the perfect one. God has the true balance, the true weight, the true measure, and it comes out that God in his infinite grace and mercy has dealt with the false weights and the false balance and the sin of his people to such a capacity that now he can welcome them into his presence without one saying, "Oh, I'm sorry." He can look at his people as have kept it all because their Redeemer has kept it all and imputed it to them. "I'm giving you this holiness." The new birth gives us holiness that we're commanded to have. I've dealt with people most of my life. My father was the holiest man I ever met. He never committed anything wrong in his life. If he did, it was someone else's fault. You ever met folks like that? You're talking to one right here. Adam had that problem. He passed it right on to us, didn't he? He said, "The woman thou gavest me, it's not my problem." Passed it on to the Lord. Give it back to the Lord. Well, it was his problem, and he passes it on, and we just continuously have that same issue. It's not my fault. Well, the more and more I've been dealing in schools now, the kids are bringing that out. They just don't put it inside. They blatter, it's all my fault. Yesterday I was in the airport, and this young man came up and kicked around my briefcase, and he says, "My bad." I said, "What does that mean? My bad." What a euphemism we have for, I have a problem, but it's not my fault. The greatest blessing God has ever given is His perfect Son of God as the Redeemer of His people that can take care of the problem so great that when He looks at us, He says, "You are perfect in every way, and you from this point on will depend upon the only true measure, the perfect measure, the only true balance, the perfect balance that you will depend on from time and eternity, on my blood and my righteousness, and you'll not depend on any works of your own because they are imperfect and they will fail. All the ways of man are clean in their own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits." I've never met anybody. I used to take kids down to Oregon State Penitentiary. It was to the Lifers Club. And the only way in Oregon that you can be sentenced for life is murder. And I'd take these kids, they were troubled kids, and we'd go down there and they'd get to visit with these guys. And every one of those kids would come back and says, "Nobody in there ever did anything wrong. They're there because someone told a lie about them. They're there because of someone else's fault." They never, ever told one of these kids, "I had a problem." Well, the church, the people that belong to God, know where the problem lies. Dear friend of mine tried to get him into a fuss. And all he said was, "All you got in your church is sinners." And that preacher answered, says, "You got that right." You know, that's what I have to say about my church in the Dalles. If someone came and said, "All you got in there is sinners," I'm just going to say, "Thank you." That's the best description you could give of us. Sinners saved by grace. That's the important thing. Jesus Christ is the absolute, perfect, holy measure. And that's the only measure that's God going to have at that day. Do you measure up to Christ? Are you as wide as He is, as tall as He is, as heavy as He is? We could just go down the list of different ways that we measure. And in every capacity, He meets the perfect standard of God. His perfectness, His perfection, His holiness is absolutely perfect. There's not a niche in it. There's not a mark in it. He has absolute perfect righteousness, and He gives His people that absolute perfect righteousness. He purchased it at the cross. He fulfilled all that was required under the law that God had given to Israel. Mr. Hawker said, "It is a very interesting to the true believers in Christ." And I was amazed that Robert Hawker, when he wrote 200 years ago or 250 years ago, he still used the term true believer. You know, we just can't say believers because everybody is. But he said, "True believers in Christ, while reading the extensiveness of the divine laws to call to mind how faithfully they are all fulfilled in Jesus." How faithfully they are all fulfilled in Jesus. "He hath indeed magnified the law and made it honorable. He hath proved Himself to be our great law fulfiller." Every one of those rules and regulations in the Old Testament, He fulfilled exactly. He never reached